This morning, I'm going to preach on something that's very important. Now, I always say it's very important, and I always believe it's very important. I want us to get a grasp of this, because I think that this is central to who we are, who we ought to be. So come with me then this morning on this exploration of a whole, of the Holy Scripture. Let's consider the true gospel. And I think I'll start off by perhaps asking a couple of questions. The main message of the Christian church has probably, it's fair to say, been orientated around the teaching of being born again that Jesus gave us. I think that would be fair to say. I mean, if I was to ask us here, for example, which I'm doing right now then, give me a summary of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What would people say? Come on, let's have a few suggestions. Give me a summary of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Just a few words, just quickly. Jesus died for you. Peace. Thank you. Peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. He rose to give us life. Yeah. God loves us, and he sent his son to die for us on the cross to save us from our sins. Very similar. Good summary. All good summaries. All, yeah. Jesus is the healer. Yeah. It's all good. But it's interesting that no one yet has mentioned the word that I really want to focus on this morning, which is kingdom. Now, everyone pay close attention to this, because this could fundamentally change the shape of your Christian understanding. Okay? You say, well, it sounds a bit dramatic. Yes, I really believe it is. I really believe that. And I'm not being dramatic for the sake of being dramatic. I'm being faithful to what the scriptures teach. Because really, the gospel has become this, that Jesus died and rose again and ascended. And that's the gospel. And of course, yes, that is part of the gospel message. But let me ask you this. If that was the gospel message, how come then that when Jesus taught us, he said, and the scriptures show us, that he went about preaching the gospel of the kingdom? Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom before the cross. Before he was crucified, he preached the gospel of the kingdom. And him being crucified and dying for our sins wasn't part of the message that he preached. Is that a staggering thought? I'm not asking you to believe me. I'm asking you to search the scriptures. That's what the scriptures show. I mean, there's no debate about it. That's what the scriptures show, folks. Now, that ruffles us up a little bit, because we've been taught that the gospel of Jesus Christ is about him going to the cross, dying, rising again. And yes, that's a central aspect, absolutely central. And where do we get it from? Predominantly, I suppose we would say John's Gospel in chapter 3. But if we read in context John's Gospel in chapter 3, what we find is even that is set within the context of Jesus teaching about kingdom. So even when he teaches about being born again, he's teaching it in the context of kingdom. My friends, listen to me. Listen to me good. If you can exercise your mind with discipline to consider what I'm saying this morning, it might well fundamentally change the shape of how you understand Christianity and what it is and what it means to be a Christian. Really, it's that strong. So, let's go to the Bible, because the Bible is where we take our doctrine from, isn't it? It should be the Bible that shapes us, not our theories or fanciful ideas. It's the Bible. So let's turn to John's Gospel, chapter 3. And it says this from verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." The whole point of being born again was to see the kingdom of God. We've taken born again as the end goal. In general terms, the Christian church has taken that born again message and made it the end goal and the emphasis. But that's not the emphasis that Jesus gives us. Now, seriously, folks, once you get a hold of this, it fundamentally changes your thinking. It really does. It's a shift that takes place. It's a quantum leap that takes place once this is understood. This is absolutely fundamental for us to understand. Now watch this. He says this. Jesus, verse 3, answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Jesus' message, folks, was a message of the kingdom. When you open up the back of your Bibles and search for what Jesus said, you look at a concordance or something, you look at the index, you'll find that Jesus' message was kingdom, kingdom, kingdom. His teachings are set within the context of kingdom. And for us to live on planet Earth, we must appropriate an understanding of kingdom. Am I making sense so far? Yes. Is anyone enthusiastic so far? Yes? Some people are. People ought to be. You ought to be very enthusiastic at this point in the sermon, folks. Okay? Anticipation should be building right now. People should be saying, well, I wonder where he's going with this. I wonder what we're going to discover here. Are we thinking along those lines? Are we sure?
Yes.
Okay. So, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to look at some scriptures that Jesus gives us, directly Jesus' words. Let's go to Matthew 4:23. Just a few examples here of Jesus' teaching about kingdom. Matthew 4:23, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. So he's preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. When someone understands kingdom, they understand that that word can be broken into two. The king, first part of kingdom. Second part of kingdom, dominion. The king who has dominion. Dominion means rule. It means authority. It means the king has rule and authority within his kingdom. And Jesus taught that by example through these healings. He had dominion over the sickness. He had dominion over anything that he wanted to have dominion. He had dominion. He is the king. His kingdom isn't of this world. It's a spiritual kingdom in that sense, but the spiritual kingdom has an impact into this world. You see, once we know that we are citizens of his kingdom, what happens is we now start to walk as a citizen in the kingdom. And much more than that, as we'll find out. But what we'll do, at least at the very minimum as a citizen, is we know that we have an authority because we have a citizenship within the kingdom. There's rights and privileges of being part of that kingdom. The question is, do you know your rights? Do you know what the privileges of your citizenship are, and have you put a demand on them? Unless we put a demand on them with faith, not a tentative little, I'm not sure, well, just sort of, no, a demand with faith, then we'll receive from that kingdom. But we have to put a demand with faith on that kingdom right and privilege that we have. So let's read on another scripture. I wanted to cite a few scriptures of Jesus' teaching. Matthew 9:35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. We'll go to Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, from verse 14. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching, you must be born again. Preaching, you must be born again. Preaching the kingdom of God and saying the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Repent. Metanoia in the Greek. Metanoia. Noia. Knowledge. Meta. Change. Change of knowledge. He's saying change your knowledge. Change your understanding. He's saying, I'm telling you something that's new. Something that's fresh. Something that's expensive. Something that's very, very expensive. My friends, listen. The cross, which we've taught on and explained and been so thankful to understand and have in our mind. But it's a doorway into the kingdom life. It's a doorway into the kingdom life. When I see the cross, I see in my mind's eye, let me describe what often comes into my mind. I see a huge cross for some reason in my mind. It's a very big cross. And I see a huge door at the bottom of it. And I know that through the cross, through what Jesus did on the cross, the great exchange, that he took all of my sin and he imputed into me all of his righteousness. Now there's a doorway in that cross. I believe that message. And what I have to do now is walk through the cross into the kingdom life. And the kingdom life is an adventure, folks. It's an adventure where all things are possible. But you don't understand where you don't. It's all right for you to say you haven't. Listen, I fully understand. But I know in whom I have believed. I know what God has in store for you. The question isn't from God's part. His work is finished. The cross is there. The doorway is there. The kingdom message has been taught. The question is, how are you responding? That's the question. I mean, it's no good, for example, me, if I, in my garden, which I like to look at, I enjoy looking at it, and I enjoy looking at flowers and things, and I just like the garden. And it's no good me complaining that in a piece of the garden, there's no flowers there. You know, if I went looking and walking around, I said, well, you know, look at this, it's just barren, this whole place. It's barren. There's nothing there. I'm really unhappy that there's nothing there. I mean, I, you know, why isn't there anything there? Well, I haven't sowed anything. How can I complain if I haven't exercised the authority, the rights, and the privileges that I have and decide to plant seed in that barren soil? If I don't do my part, how can I expect there to be something good as a harvest? Doesn't, you know, God has given us a kingdom for us to understand that we have a role to play. The New Testament describes in tremendous detail, God has afforded to us the riches of his grace with an abundant teaching in the New Testament, which just goes through this over and over and over again. But it is a remarkable thing, quite remarkable and frankly staggering, that in the main, most people haven't even begun to understand what we are looking at this morning. Most people who are in the Christian religious establishment just don't get it. And that, of course, puts into question who they're following. And it also puts a great emphasis for us that we need to be following with skill and wisdom, a workman rightly dividing the word of truth. Not wrongly dividing it, not partially dividing it, not misunderstanding, but guided by the Holy Spirit. I mean, he's done it all for us, folks. He's given us the counselor. He's leading us in all truth. That's all we need to do is yield. The question is, who are we yielding to? Now, let me tell you something. The devil vision, television, wants to have you yielding to it. Friends and family members, nice as they are, pleasant as it is, enjoyable as it can be, that can be a form of yielding. Being busy in life can be a form of yielding. Just busy, 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 busy. But you know, folks, the Bible teaches us that our yieldedness needs to be to him on a daily basis. Jesus taught it very clear for citizens in his kingdom. He says, pick up your cross daily and follow me. If you don't do that, you can't be my disciple. It's a strong teaching. I'm sure many in the church would answer that teaching and say, well, what do you mean every day? I mean, I come on Sundays. Every day, I'm there on Wednesdays. I mean, every day. What happens with kingdom is this. Once we understand this, everything changes. He has translated us from the kingdom of darkness into, as Colossians teaches, the kingdom of his dear Son. He's translated us. We've gone from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now, where are we gravitating towards? We have to yield and gravitate towards his work, his kingdom, his business. Our life isn't our own anymore. It's not your life. It's not your life. You've been bought at a price. In Luke 4:43, Luke 4:43, Jesus said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent. What's the purpose that he was sent? preach the kingdom of God. What's the purpose that he's been sent? Preach the kingdom of God. Listen, maybe next week, wake up a little bit earlier, freshen up a little bit more, and come to the church really alert, ready, I'm going to get something from church today. We've got to have life, folks. We're not playing games. This is important. This is very important, what we're talking about this morning. We're not just going through the motions here. God has a call and a purpose for us. We need to fulfill it. We need to be about his business. We've got to fulfill his call and his purpose. Okay? There's nothing more important in your week. Nothing more important. Yeah, it's amazing to me. You know, people go to, they give so much dedication to work. You know, and the job, and oh, I must be late for work. You know, oh, the boss, and you know, and not so much attention to God and the things of God and all that God has done. And do you know what I mean? The number one priority in our lives is Him. And listen, the boss and those, we should give attention. We should be alert, and we should do a good job. But if we do it for them, we ought to do it definitely for Jesus. All the more for Jesus. Luke 8:1, it says this. Now, it came to pass afterwards that Jesus went through every city and village, preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. Luke 16:16, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is pressing into it. Matthew 24:14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. It's important business, the gospel of the kingdom, folks. The inspired word of God is abundantly plain. The good news that Jesus brought was about the kingdom of God. His kingdom being established on earth. The good news about the kingdom that's been delivered on earth for eternity, which that kingdom includes. Let me try and break this down. But what is a kingdom? Essentially, it's a nation with all its citizens, land, and laws ruled by a government. In biblical use, then, we could say that a kingdom in the Old Testament was Israel. In the New Testament, all who believe, including those who were previously Israel. A kingdom has four basic elements. Number one, a king, the supreme ruler or the governing agent. Number two, a kingdom has a territory with a specific location and definite boundary lines. Number three, a kingdom has subjects and citizens. Number four, a kingdom has laws and a form of government through which the will of the ruler is executed. That's a summary of a kingdom right there. Now, an illustration would be, for example, the kingdom, the United Kingdom. If the United Kingdom were to have a presence in another country, or another country, in, it could be any country, they have a presence in another country, it would be, they would send an ambassador to that other country. That ambassador would take a position within an embassy. And the embassy then is basically, let's say if it was one of the countries of Africa, in Kenya, for example, There's a British embassy, and the British embassy in Kenya is regarded as British soil within Kenya. And the ambassador, the representative of Britain, his full-time or her full-time role and mission is to represent the United Kingdom within the area of Kenya. That's their delegated position. And so when we think of kingdom, we in the United Kingdom have a good grasp of that word, really. And we should be able to relate to it very easy as it appears in the New Testament. You know, as believers, we could view the church, the local assembly, as the embassy. In Kenya, the British embassy occupies some space, and outside there is the foreign land. All that's foreign land. But here is homeland. Well, for us, here, the embassy is homeland. Outside there is foreign land. It's foreign. We're not citizens of that world. We've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. We're now in this embassy. But it's interesting, in the New Testament, there's a good description. I want to read it out now from 2 Corinthians 5:20. It describes your position within the embassy. 2 Corinthians 5:20, it says this: "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." Believers are called to be ambassadors. And the local church fellowship, that's the embassy from which we're based. Secular society is the foreign land. I like the dictionary definition of ambassador: an accredited diplomat sent by a state as its permanent representative in a foreign country. That's you and me, representing Christ. Well, as we represent Christ, then, we have to represent this kingdom, this gospel, as ambassadors. I mean, you know that those ambassadors are full on for their country. I mean, the British ambassador, if you know, he's full on for his country. I was once invited to, when I was in Geneva preaching, to have breakfast with Micah at the house of an ambassador. And we went to the house, and it was a beautiful thing because there was a table full of things laid out for us, different foods of the country. And the flags were on the table. And it was a lovely sort of mixture of foods and things that we could try. And, you know, but I was, when we left with gifts from the ambassador. And it was something, you know, they were really full out as representatives for their country. Well, the New Testament is saying, look, you are ambassadors for Christ and his kingdom. And so we have to take what God has given us to do very seriously. This is a very important work. I mean, do you think an ambassador in the secular society would be casual about their work? Do you think they go about it casually? You know, well, you know, it doesn't sort of, you know, I mean, we'll just, you know, we'll take it, you know. They're not casual about their work. Their work is everything to them. Their work is means so much to them, they are full on. It's very, very important. And it's all temporal. At the end of the day, it doesn't mean very much. It's just a temporal thing. Nice. I give it respect. But it's temporal. He's called us as ambassadors for an eternal purpose, an eternal kingdom. It's so important. And I've got to say, several of us in this room this morning need to sharpen up. I sense that. Look, I don't want to be strong. I've got to say it. I'm saying this to you this morning. If you want to fulfill the purpose of God for your life, you're going to have to make some changes. You're going to have to make some changes. I'm not going to... I don't even know the specifics. I don't necessarily even want to. It's not necessarily my business. But I sense before God this morning, God is saying, listen, the way things are going, it's not... You've got to make some changes. Take it as a challenge from God. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart at this moment, don't resist Him. Yield to Him. I don't know who I'm speaking to at the moment. I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to hearts in this room. If your heart is one of them, don't resist Him. If you don't resist, you'll be happy. If you resist... He wants to do things. He wants to work in and through and your life. He's called you to be an ambassador. He's given you everything. We're explaining kingdom. We're looking at this morning. It's very clear in the text. This is a revelation for several people in this room this morning. Let me tell you this. Don't take a revelation lightly. Don't take things lightly. If God has given you a revelation this morning of something, don't be casual with it. Don't you dare be casual with it. It's God and the Holy Spirit. And because He loves us, He's shaping us. It's a privilege. Don't take it casually, folks. Ephesians 2, let's go to Ephesians 2 here. Ephesians 2:10. Ephesians 2:10, it says, for we are His workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. What's your role in the embassy? What's your role in the embassy? Let me ask you this. What's your role in the embassy? And do you fulfill your role in the embassy with diligence? With a passion? With an understanding that I am serving the purposes of God in doing this? in the world, the embassy is the place where the ambassador spends most of their time. It's the focus of their lives, the embassy is. It's where the important strategic business of the country, of that kingdom, takes place. And when we leave the embassy, we leave representing the kingdom in a missionary capacity within this foreign land. Well, that's why we need the filling of the Holy Spirit. We can't do this on our own. We need the filling of the Holy Spirit. We need to yield to the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. Being filled with the Holy Spirit. We've got to be yielded to the Holy Spirit. It's lovely to have beautiful times of worship with God. It's great to sing and enjoy, and the sense and the presence of God that we've had this morning has been so beautiful. It's been so beautiful. It's been so beautiful here this morning. Really, I'm so blessed to have been here and to be part of it. I feel so happy. But in my conclusion, the challenge is this. It can't be just that. God gives us those beautiful things so that we are equipped in part with enthusiasm to go and represent him out there. And as we represent, listen, my friends, I sense the Spirit of God. So when I'm speaking, that's what I'm sensing. I've put a challenge out a few moments ago. I sense that challenge is for people. I want you to respond to him this morning. We can't do it ourselves. And praise God, there's no condemnation for us who are in Christ. So it's not so much about trying. It's about trying, making effort and human effort. And that's not the case. It's not about that. It's about yielding to what the Word of God is saying and yielding to the will of our Heavenly Father. It's about yielding. And it's about, through that yielding then, taking up our position and being strong in it. We have a privileged position, and he's called us to walk in it. When I started to find this out in my life, everything changed. I realized that God wanted to use me and work in power through me. It was amazing to me. And it was beautifully received. Good news. So that the sick could be healed. So that miracles could happen. So that lives could be transformed. Hallelujah. And so now I take up my role. I'm not a poor, miserable, sinful wretch. I'm an ambassador of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. I have rights and privileges. I walk with his unlimited power in me, and I can stand tall and strong because of who I am in Christ. And he's calling us to represent him in that way out there. I know God has spoken to people here this morning. Let's just stand. Every eye closed as we respond to God this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now listen, every eye closed. You can continue to sing. Brother, come up. But every eye closed, no one looking around, because I want us to respond to God. And I want you to respond with understanding to what's been said this morning and with a commitment. And with the filling of the Holy Spirit, being under the control of the Holy Spirit, God will give us grace to live in His victory. Amen. So let this be now. Heavenly Father, you see us before you this morning, and we respond to you. And so, anyone in this place, you say, yes, that message of kingdom is for me this morning. And I'm going to take up an understanding of kingdom from this morning onwards. I'm going to take up that understanding of kingdom. And I'm going to read about it, and I'm going to understand it more than I have previously. First of all, if that's you, lift up your hand this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I see many hands raised. Praise God. Praise God. Precious. Precious to respond. Thank you for responding to God. You're responding to Him. He loves you. You're so precious to Him. You're so precious to Him. Now you take what's been said on board. And if we need notes, we'll put up the notes. I want people to really get this, to walk in this and to live in this. Heavenly Father, I thank you for each precious person here this morning. Each one so precious to you. Oh, Father God, I thank you for each one. Lord, I ask that your will manifest in and through each life that's here. Father God, have your way with each one of us, we pray. Lord, I thank you for the response that we make from our hearts and for your love for us. Father God, help us as a church be that embassy that you've called us to be. Help us as a church. Father God, thank you that you do. Yes, yes. Commitment, that's what he says. He's saying, you commit to this morning. You make a decision, you commit with strength so that it affects the way that you live, your habits, the way that you live, your comings and your goings. You commit with strength to what you've heard so that it has an impact on your life. Don't commit with a weak commitment. You commit with a strong commitment. And it will change your very life. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Yes, Father God, have your way then, Lord. Have your way in Jesus' wonderful name. Lord, we give you all of this. We give you our lives. We worship you. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Thank you. Yes, people were thinking. People were thinking. Father, as we bring this service to a close now then, Lord, we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Thank you, Father God. And Father, we say this. We leave this place recognizing that we are ambassadors within your kingdom and that you've given us gifts. Father, we ask that we would respond to the gifts and call of God in an appropriate way with dedication and commitment that's honoring to you. Thank you, Savior. Thank you, Lord. We give you all the honor, all the praise as to your holy name. In Jesus, our Lord.